Today's seminar, Lachashir, there's a shaila that I get all the time when someone's grandparent passes away, when someone's parent is sitting shiva. People very often ask, is there some sort of restriction on me because my parent is sitting shiva? Am I not allowed to go to my friend's wedding this week? Is there something about sitting or not bathing or whatever? So your knee-jerk reaction is, I've never heard of that before. Come on, there can't be any such thing. But the truth is that this is based on something. There is a Brisa Maseches Matan Daf Chaf Amud Beis that what we just read in this past week's parasha of the Zayin Krovim, Emor Al HaKohanim, that the Kohanim have limitations in terms of Tuma and who they're allowed to become Tamei to. So those Krovim that a Kohen is allowed to be Metamei Lahem Chayavim Lis Abel Alehem. It is only those relatives that one has to observe Avelus for. That's why brother, sister, mother, father, etc., son, daughter, spouse, that's why those are the only avelim that one would have to be misabel for. However, the Brisa continues that Rabbi Akiva holds that you're misabel even on shniim, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds that you have to be misabel al ben beno va'avi aviv, that even on a grandson or a grandfather. And the Chacham say, and this is the part that plays a role halacha, that you have to be misabel together with anyone that you would have to, if someone that you would have to be misabel on is currently in Avelus, kol ha-misabel olav, misabel imo. You have to practice Avelus together with the person who you would have to be misabel on if they are practicing Avelus. That is the shita of the Chachamim recorded in Maseches Moed Katan, which would mean that if one's Zayin Krovim are sitting Shiva, they too have to sit Shiva. Most commonly, if one's parents are sitting Shiva for one's grandparents, one would have to sit Shiva for them as well. But the Gemara goes on to say, that's only Bifanav. That's only if you are in front of them. And the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam just elaborates and explains what's this based on. And the Ramban explains you don't really have a chiyuv to be misabel on a grandparent, but it's instituted mishum kavod hamisablim. That this is a way of showing kavod for those who are practicing Avelus. In fact, the Rush in Simon Lamed Hei says that it doesn't even apply to all the Krovin, that one only has to be misabel together with their wife for their mother-in-law and father-in-law, or a woman together with her husband for her mother-in-law and father-in-law, but not by other Krovin. And the Rush says that it's because it's L'Kavod Ishto, and she should not be mochel, or cannot be mochel on her Kavod, and the same is true with the husband. So the Rush also understands it's a din in Kavod, but the Rush says it's specific to those to the spousal relationship where the Kavod is so critical to the functioning of the home. However, the Ramban says, even if you say it applies to all the relatives, it's Mishum Kavod. And therefore, the Rishonim point out, since it's only Mitam Kavod, if let's say the Avel wants to be Mochel, and they say, it's okay, it's my Avelus, not your Avelus. I don't need you to do this. I don't view this as an honor. I'd rather you be able to help out around the house and not be sitting Shiva together with me. Then they have the right to be Mochel because it's their own Kavod. And that's why the Ramah writes in Simon Shin Ayin Dalit in Yaradeya that we don't observe this nowadays. Rama goes on to say that if a grandchild sits Shiva for a grandparent, it's Eino Ela Min HaMatmiyin. That is an extremely odd thing to do. That is a strange thing to do. We don't do that. The Shach explains that since people don't do this nowadays, it makes it look like you're trying to mock your relative who's actually in Avelus. Like you're doing a mock Avelus, and that's not nice at all. Meaning if it were something that everybody did, so then it's a sign of respect. But if it's something that nobody does and you decide, oh, I'm going to be the firm person who's going to do this, then it's not a sign of respect at all. It's a sign of mockery. However, the Ramah goes on to quote a minhag amongst Ashkenazim from Ashkenazi Rishonim to observe some sort of modified form of Avelus until the first Shabbos. Until the Shabbos of the Shiva. And the Ramah says, therefore, you don't sit on the floor, but you don't bathe, you don't change your clothing until the first Shabbos. The Ramah records that as something that is not minav matmiyin, that's something that you should actually do. So it's machlokas achronim, how to view that line in the Ramah. Some of the achronim say, Yeah, that's also the same as what the Gemara was talking about. That's Mishum Kavod HaAvelim. And since it's Mishum Kavod HaAvelim, it only makes sense Bifnei HaAvelim, only in front of them. And they have the right to be mochel that as well. I mean, it's just that Rama is saying that people typically are not mochel that, but it's also just a din kavod. So you only have to do it when you're in front of them. But other achronim assume that this is an independent minhag, and it applies everywhere, whether you're bifnei v'avelim or not. Either way, it turns out to be nothing, though, because the examples that the Rama gives of what we do as a quasi-avelus is not to change your clothing and not to bathe. We're makel on both of those things for the most part, even for the avelim themselves, much more than the halacha and shulchan aruch sounds like we should be makel, because nowadays we assume everybody is an istinus, so people just can't, they can't go. You know, the shulchan aruch passes makel in 30 days. For all the shloshim, you don't bathe. Have you ever seen an avel that doesn't bathe for 30 days? You would probably keep a safe distance from an avel that doesn't bathe for 30 days. We don't do that nowadays. And most people do shiva, and even then they're probably bathing in cold water often, or in some modified form of bathing during shiva, because we assume that we're all in istinus and we schwitz too much, and it's not going to... That's why Rav Shechtman points out, Rav Salvejik held, that during the 9 days, where it's clear in Shulchan Aruch, one is not allowed to bathe during the 9 days, that really you are. Because during the 9 days, it's the parallel of Shloshim. So the reason Shulchan Aruch says you can't bathe during the 9 days, because you're supposed to be observing all the laws of Shloshim during the 9 days. But and according to the Shulchan Aruch, you don't bathe during Shloshim. But nowadays, everybody does bathe during Shloshim. Probably you could bathe during the 9 days as well. He points out, it'll come out of Chumrah as well, because the halacha is in Hilchos Avelus, you're not allowed to cut your fingernails during Shloshim. So even though many of the poskim say that you are allowed to cut your fingernails during the 9 days, if you're following this model of 9 days equals Shloshim, you would not be allowed to cut your fingernails during Shloshim either. So anyway, so that's the Ashkenazic practice. But at the end of the day, you know, and as far as changing clothing as well, we assume that we sweat so much, and you know, certainly any garments that touch our skin, we assume that we certainly are allowed to change when one is in Avelus, and therefore it wouldn't make that much of a difference anyway. The Pesachei Tshuva writes that an Avel is allowed to change their undergarments or any garments that actually go directly on the skin. And he says, why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say this? He says, Meirov Pshituso, it's obvious. Shulchan Aruch doesn't have to say it. It's obvious that that's not included in that form of Avelus. Is there any other type of situation? So at the end of the day, meaning if you're going to talk about someone who, Rahman al-Tzlan, loses a grandparent or something like that, so is there a basis for the idea that's out there that one has to observe some modified form of Avelus? Yes. Practically speaking, do we do it? Not really. Practically speaking, you know, we don't do such things. The Aruch HaShulchan, if I'm not mistaken, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that, you know, you have to follow whatever the minig is where you live, and hechad nahug nahug, hechad lo nahug lo nahug. Wherever the minig is not that way, so you don't do this. In Chuvus Yabia Omer Chedal Tzimlam Hey Os Tes, as quoted by Yalkut Yosef, he says, you know, the minig is not to do anything at all. And like we said, Meikra Din, there's no reason to do it. It's only a chumrah to begin with, as a din of kavod, as a way of showing kavod to the relative. Is there any other relationship where you're not a relative and you may still have to observe Avelus? So quickly, three other potential relationships where this might come up. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, on page Kuf Mem Dalid, learns from a Yerushalmi in the third paragraph of Brachos that one should observe the Dine Aninus on his Rebbe Shalomdo Chachma, on a Rebbe that taught him Torah. And the Beis Yosef says, Mikol Makom, you should be Mevarich Umezamein. Meaning, even though you're observing Aninus, not the part of Aninus that gets you out of having to say Brachos, where you don't have to say Brachos as an Onin. No, the part of Aninus that says, don't eat meat, don't drink wine. That part of Aninus. But we can't be Mekel on saying Brachos. Ramban quotes from the Gemara Ma'id Katan Chafeim Beis that you should also be Mis'abel Olav Yom Echad, that one should be Mis'abel for a Rebbe for one day, and the Beis Yosef writes, Miktsas Hayom Sagi, that for part of the day it's enough. So do people do this? It seems that this is not something people do either. Although people sometimes do tear Kriya on Rabbo Mufak, they typically don't observe Avelus Rabbo Mufak. I'm told that when Rav Henoch, Zichron Levracha, passed away, that in yeshivas and chavetz chaims throughout the world, people were tearing kriya because they thought that he had a din of rabba mufak, which could very well be. But the minhag is not to observe avelus. In general, people get a little queasy about observing avelus, and certainly seems like a, you know, a bad simon to observe avelus when one is not actually an avel. Another situation where maybe it is advisable to observe avelus, even though one is not strictly speaking required to do so, is when one is an adopted child to observe avelus for his parents. Now, strictly speaking, they're not related, so there's no chiyuv avelus. But the Rama says, any time you want to volunteer avelus, you are permitted to do so, but only l'chumra. So, for example, you can't say, oh, on Yom Rishon, I'm not going to wear tefillin. The first day of avelus, halach is navel, is not allowed to wear tefillin. We learn from the pasuk in Yecheskel, perech l'chav shalacha, that you're not allowed to wear tefillin because an avel is not supposed to have a pe'er. He's supposed to have an efer as opposed to pe'er. But so you can't say, oh, I'm not going to wear tefillin. Or I'm patur from Talmud Torah for the whole week because I want to observe avelus. I heard somebody died, so there's some people you could be patur from Talmud Torah. A gansiyar, you're patur from Talmud Torah because someone's always dying. So you check on, you know, the misaskim list, and you observe. No, we can't do that. We can't be observing avelus lekula. The Rama, similar to what how some of the Achronim explained the Rama in Siman Tav Beis, Rama says you shouldn't do kriya when unnecessary. And some of the Achronim explained that if you're doing kriya when it's not necessary, it's a kulan batashis, that you're destroying perfectly good clothing. You have to be careful, whatever chumra one has. But nevertheless, when it comes to adopted children, one is allowed to volunteer avelus as long as he doesn't take the kulas of avelus. With certain exceptions, meaning if, let's say, all the children are adopted, so there's no real avelim. So strictly speaking, is it really a base avel? It's not really a base avel. So should they skip tachnun? It would be hard to have a house set up as a base avel where they're sitting shiva and not skip tachnun. People would be confused by that. So probably that kind of kula, skipping tachnun. You know, you could be chassidish for a week and find some Rebbe's yard site or something that you're skipping tachnun for. But when it comes to real kulas in din, we shouldn't take any real kulas. Another and final circumstance is Shulchan Aruch and Shinai and Dalet Sifei says that there's no avelus for a ger. And the Rama adds that even if nisgayer imimo, a ger converted together with his mother, still no avelus. Darki Moshe explains that since avelus yom rishon is drabanan, they weren't gozer. Beis Yosef says, yeah, if you hold that avelus yom rishon is daraisa, and then if he was niskayer together with his mother, maybe he should observe avelus. But the Rama says the halacha, one doesn't have to. But this again would be one of those circumstances where one is allowed to volunteer avelus, although it would not be a chiyuv. And again, the critical point there would be that it would only be an avelus l'chumra, not an avelus l'kula. Okay.